proceeds in our life. Peace be with you, brothers and sisters in Christ. So as you all can see, our pastor and his wife has returned back to us. And today, as a spare tire that I've been asked to do this, a sharing of God's words. So let's pray that Holy Spirit be with each and every one of us in today's worship. So in about another month, I will become 88. So I was thinking, what are some of the things I would like to encourage brothers and sisters in my eighth birthday? So in my life experience in the last almost 88 years, so I would like to share with you to do some comparison about my life in a church life. So just like we all know, no matter how old we get to, we are always learning new things on a daily basis. And especially from God's teachings at this time. And this is what I would like to encourage brothers and sisters on today's topics. Who is in the driver's seat in your life? So everybody knows about the Yellowstone National Park here in the U.S. And I believe many of us have been there and visit that particular park. There are millions of people visit this particular national park on an annual basis. You may not know, but actually, when you go to a national, Yellowstone National Park, especially looking, visiting the Old Faithful geysers, it is actually one of the most volatile, active volcano in today's date. It's a crustal, surface of this particular active volcanoes. Can have a breakout at any time. And then when the surface of the shell breaks, or the volcano actually started, the disaster it brings is going to be terrible that no one can imagine or fathom what disaster would it bring. And just like us, nobody dare to imagine what the consequence will be. As we reflect to the book of Job, we also reflect what Job has gone through in his life. All of a sudden, all things changed in his life. So while Job was enjoying his life, all of a sudden, in a moment, he did not expect it. Everything that happened to him at once. And as Job was enjoying his life, all of a sudden things happened. And the only thing that we recognize that really protected him was God's hands. Let's bow and pray. Father, we give thanks to you. We know our life are unpredictable. As we come before you this morning, As we come before you today, we worship you in truth and in spirits. And let us, no matter for the ones who speaks, who shares, or the people who are listening, that we all be blessed by your words. And we thank you once again for your protection and for your blessing for our brother and sister here in NCBC. And pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Here in the US, I don't know how many of you love to watch sports. And I know one of my friends love the sports. One of his sports person that he admires. He always admired specific athletes, and then he would put down his stickers. He would put down all of his image around his surroundings. And one time I read on the back of his car, there's a bumper stickers. It says, "Jesus is my co-pilot." But when I really read what he really meant on the bumper sticker, it says, "Jesus is my co-pilot." All of a sudden, I feel like this may be a well-intended sentiment, but it actually troubles me. So that makes me to reflect, if we truly are on our own driver's seat, I don't think our life is going to get better in any way. And if we allow Jesus just to be the co-pilot of our life, then that doesn't seem right. For we know that Jesus is a lot stronger and powerful than us. So should we put him in our driver's seat rather as a co-pilot? So it was a sincere proclamation in a letter written to the Galatian churches by Paul. And in this letter, Paul described the change of his life. And he described how he has fully or total surrender of his life to Jesus. He said, "I have been crucified with Christ, and now it is no longer me who lives, but Christ lives in me. And now I live in the flesh because I believe in the Son of God." And this is again from Book of Galatians, chapter 2, verse 20. So not only Paul mentioned about how God has changed his life, but also the purpose. He is totally surrendered to Jesus. So we know none of us can control our life. So it is only God who has overall control of our individual lives. And as we read from a book of Job, chapter 1, verse 20 to 22, we see not only because Jesus changed the direction of his life, but also his will to give the sovereignty of life to Lord Jesus, even when our lives fall into the bottom of the pit. And as we read from Job, the pain in the heart makes sense because Job got up, he tore his robe, and shaved his head. These two actions indicated heavy emotional pain that he had to endure for the losses in his life. But some people say that even if the Christian spiritual life is mature, his confidence is strong, he shall never would have experienced such great losses like Job. But in fact, Bible records many examples of great pains that the Christian has endured. So, for example, Joseph has expressed a great sadness for the loss of his father from Genesis. And then also in Deuteronomy, Israelites were hurt by the death of Moses. Now, from the book of First, Second Samuel, we have read that King David was saddened by the death of his best friend, Jonathan. So there are many other examples in the Bible that Christians or believers saddened by all the losses that surrounded them. One thing we got to recognize is that God created us to have love and feeling and emotions. He also prepared a way for us to express his love and feeling for us, which is the sadness. So one thing we Christians, we must do is that we must acknowledge that God is in control of everything. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. And in the example of Job, we know he recognized he came with nothing, without clothing I was born from my mother's womb, and without clothing I will return. So Job has recognized he has nothing starting. And he did not bring anything to the world, and we cannot bring anything to return. So if we Christians, we need to recognize there's a basic principles is that we never bring anything to this world. So there's nothing we will be able to bring with us after our death. So if we all acknowledge that everything that we have belongs to God, doesn't matter if it's our family, our children, even the health, wealth, occupation, and everything, none of them were brought at the birth. So we must recognize everything that we own today, they all belong to God. So without clothing, I was born from my mother's womb, and without clothes, I will return. So if we all recognize this, we will realize that we have nothing. Then when they are not there, we don't really feel the loss. From Job 1:21, acknowledging that God is in charge of everything, the Lord gave and the Lord taken away. Too often we forget a fact that we have nothing in this world. So everything that we have today were being placed on us to manage. So we should not use what we own today as a pride. So if we, anything that we have today, they are the temporary task that God has given to us. So we shall give thanks to God for allowing us to manage the wealth, the everything that we have on this earth. So that's why in the Job, he claims, he says, the name of the Lord should be praised. In all these things, he committed a crime. The name of the Lord should be praised. In all these things, he committed a crime under low benefits, and he did not think of God as a fool. When our life is in smooth sailing, a lot of times we feel like that God, we are all in control. And we know that everything that God done is doing is good. But then when life goes through extreme hard times, all of a sudden our wisdom disappears. So let's reflect back to what Job has done. So when Job was experiencing the suffering and losses, the thing that we should admire the most was his unwavering faith in the kindness and love of God. This is one of the most desirable characters that we all should pursue. In his extreme suffering, he never doubted in the wisdom of the Lord. And he did not think that God has made a mistake. Of course, he did not know that God's blessing to him later, that will be surpassed what he had previously. So our faith in God should not change just because our surrounding changed. So when Job's life went down to the deep end, we have to recognize that God is still in control. Even if our life is in smooth sailing, we are in the top of the world, we should not take the pride. We should not be prideful on everything that we have, that we own. So at the peak of our life, everyone has their own plan. You have something to say. Today and tomorrow, we will live in a certain city, live there for a year, and make a profit in trading. So if you look at it, this particular verse reflects to what we have today. As we see that, as we recognize, this Bible verse was written 2,000 years ago. Don't the people say the same thing today about what they are planning on doing it in their own life? You know, I'm an engineer. So everything that I do got to have some advanced planning. And there's nothing wrong to have advanced planning. The misconception we have is that none of us should have that 100% assurance about what's going on, what's going to come in the future. So from verse 16 to 3, what you have done will be entrusted to the Lord, and what you have planned will be established. And the life plan is like a cloud and fog. In fact, how about tomorrow? You still don't know what your life is like. So as we all know, all the sons, Job's 10 children, all of a sudden they lost their life. And we know our life is unpredictable. Nobody have a full control of what our life will be. Our life, our health, our belongings, and everything, it's all relying on God's grace and mercy. For He is eternal and trustworthy. So everything that we have in this life all relies on God, because if it's without God's blessing, we have nothing. So according to chapter 4, verse 15, you only say that if the king is a man, we can live. And we can also do something to retreat all that. There are two important lessons in this verse. Our breath of life is not determined by ourselves, but depend entirely on the will of God. And our life from God is the most important thing than anything else. So we got to admit in our life, we all need God. And this is when we are truly humble to have such admissions. So Proverbs 3:34 says, "The Lord knows that those who are good and despised, and give grace to the humble." Knowing what is good and not acting upon it, it is a sin. According to chapter 4, verse 17, if a person knows how to do good but does not do it, this is his sin. So most of the times, we don't think we are proud and don't need God to be, don't need God. And that is a sin. So one thing, as a Christian, we all should recognize that we should give our life total control to God. So here are 4 points Biblical examples of relinquishing. One is from the our hero, Israelite hero, Moses. He was the most respected hero of Israel. He called out to the real Israel from Deuteronomy 6, verse 4 to 5. O Israel, listen, the Lord our God is the only Lord, and you should love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul. To the new generations, Moses repeat the law of God in Deuteronomy. He called on the new Israelites to listen to his teaching and to love God with all their hearts and minds. And he asked them to make God to be the center of their lives, and allowing God to control their life journey. And next, we're going to be looking from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 to 6. And this is from the words of a king. So it says, rely on the Lord with all your heart. Don't rely on your own wisdom. In what you do, you must identify him, and he will guide you away. Not only God has given him the abundance, but also God gave him the wisdoms. So with all the wisdom God gave Solomon, with all the powers and glamours and all what he has, so Solomon can become a successful king. And let's go and listen to the word of the prophets from prophet Isaiah. It says, you either turn left or right. You will hear the voice behind you saying that this is the right way to walk in between. And this is from Isaiah chapter 30, verse 21. So if we are willing to give up our control and give to God, then we will never waste our time and waste our energy to go down the wrong path. So we shall go on the road that God has prepared for us. So that way we will not waste our time, waste our effort on walking on the wrong path. For God will bless us, and then we don't have to go through the struggles. But then when we are pride about for ourselves, we will tend to go down the wrong path. We shall always rely on God and not walk our own ways. Many times in our life, we tend to want to be the head of our own life. But if we reflect from the very beginning, if we relinquish our control to God, then we will not walk, we will not waste our time and energies on the things that does not pleasing God. So one last thing is that we need to hear the word of Jesus. For Jesus has prayed, he said, Dad, you can do everything. Please sprinkle this cup, but do not go according to my will, but yours. And this is during the time that Jesus was in the Garden of Gethsemane, praying to God and asking God to take control of his life and fully surrender and fully submitted to the will of God. And lastly, what should we do? In my 88 years, I have gone through a lot of, I have gone through a lot in my life. I have enjoyed my life. I have suffered in my life. As I fully give control of my life to God, I shouldn't have to go through all that suffering that I had to endure. So there are four steps that we can relinquish our life to God's control. And it is from Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. There are four spiritual meaning. So let's go ahead and study this 4 points, the spiritual 4 points. First one is that Paul has claimed that he has nailed together with Christ. The cross, what it means, it really means that we have nailed to the cross with God. We have relinquished our control to God. I have been crucified with Christ. That's from the first part of chapter 2, verse 20. So Paul was talking about how his old life and the laws cannot save anyone. And then he testified that he has crucified his very old selves with Christ. That means to put death to his old life and his old self-righteousness and his own wisdom and everything and work. This is the first step we need to do, that we can relinquish our power to God. Second, let Christ live in us. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. So we are inviting Christ to live inside of us. Let him be the center of our life. This really reflects in our own lives. How many times have we actually relinquished our control to God and let he be the center of our life? Or have we always been our self-centered? And then when we run into trouble, then we'll return back to God. So many of Christians nowadays, they are just like that. They tend to take up their own self. But then when they run into trouble, then they will return back to God. Then third, it is to have faith in Christ. The life I live in this body, I live by faith in the Son of God. And many times why today we are still self-centered and live our life is because we don't fully trust in God. We don't trust God to take care of everything for us. But once, after we have faith and trust in God and return back to God, we shall receive eternal life. And then to fully relinquish the power to God should not be that hard if we have true faith in God. And the last point is that Jesus loves you. He loves us and sacrificed himself for us. And this is talking about the love when Jesus died on the cross for us. For Jesus died on the cross for his love, so we all shall receive the salvation and have eternal life. And this is ultimate proof that God's love to each and every one of us. If we recognize that God loves us and even sacrifice by dying on the cross for our transgressions, don't you think he would not care for everything that we need, everything that we shall have, or what we are going through in our life? So we shall give everything to him and let him to be the control of our life. In my 88 years here, not too long ago, I was self-centered. I would live self-centered. I was self-pride. I know a lot of things that I have accomplished, it's all by myself. But later on, as I reflect, if we truly give everything to God and let God control, that will be a perfect situation. For we know if God is in control of our life, he will fulfill what we need in our life. Once we believe in God and he's fully control of our life will be more abundant and more effective. So if we all recognize this is the truth, then we shall relinquish our power to God and let him to be the center of our life. So in our conclusion, first thing is that we need to face the realities. The fragility of one's life is indisputable and cannot be denied. If someone insist and not admitting what had happened, he will not be able to stand and then recognize who God's power and God's sovereignty. So we should know to fully rely on God. So in John 15, verse 5, because you are away from me, you cannot do anything. But also, Jacob also said, from chapter 4, verse 6, Jacob said, God blocks the proud and gives grace to the humble. So when we truly are humble, we recognize that we need God. For God, he blocks the proud and gives grace to the humble. Second, it is to prepare for eternity. Many times when we're hearing the words of God, we know for one thing. But then when we really want to live out in our life, that's another challenge. So everybody, we need to be prepared. Because one day, ultimately, all of us will be facing God. So we shall be humble in front of God and confess our sins and ask for his forgiveness. and then give our life, our planning and everything, surrender to God. And this is the biggest thing that we shall do today. And ask the Jesus to live in our heart and be the life, the Lord of our life. So we will no longer be lonely and hopeless. And no matter what will happen to us, because God is with us, then we shall have the confidence to overcome the challenges. So let's go ahead and make this decision to trust in God. I know many of us in this congregation have faced a lot of challenges lately. Let's be reminded that let Jesus to live in our hearts. So that way we know that God is in control. He will lead us. He will give us the directions. So even despite all of suffering, we know who is in control. That is God. So we shall make this decision to let God be control. And I know many of us here are already Christians, believers. You trust in Christ. However, I do not know who we are in terms of our spiritual condition. So let's remind ourselves, what are the things that we can actually see our relationship with God, how in depth we have with Him? So how much do we know about Jesus? How much can we fully give control of our life to Christ? Can we give everything to Him? Or do we always have to wait till when we are in troubles, then we will come to Christ? So what does it mean to have faith in your life? And what's your relationship with Christ? And then lastly is give it all to the best driver. So from the very beginning of today's, when I was sharing this message to you, I mentioned about that Jesus be the only driver of the driver of our life, for He is the best one. So why don't we go and ask Him to take over, and let's go and sit back and relax and enjoy our ride. Thank you very much.